Welcome to Pault on Power, Power System Design's podcast on power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today we've got Marcus Levy. He's the president and founder of the Embedded Microprocessor Benchmark Consortium, the EEMBC. So hi, Marcus. Welcome aboard the show.
Hey, Alex. How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing very well. And frankly, I'm really glad to have somebody to talk about the whole issue with microcontrollers and processors and power, because a lot of the engineering community is really being confronted with the almost Freudian said insane, but the bottom line is there's tremendous pressure for higher efficiencies, lower power, more wringing out every electron out of the battery before the device fails. I mean, and I gather benchmarking is important because you got to know what you have, right?
Exactly. And, you know, in the microcontroller space, there's so much controversy on what is low power, and you know, we always discuss, you know, that what is one person's or one company's ultra low power microcontroller is somebody else's high power microcontroller. So it's all very relative, and what we're trying to do here is level the playing field, or not necessarily level the playing field, but come up with a good way so people can compare apples to apples.
Exactly. You have to know how far apart the lines on the ruler are, and everybody's got to agree on it, or the measurement is useless.
That's right.
So, because I imagine that's got to be a big issue. The, you know, it depends on the clock speed. It depends on how often the device is awake. You know, there are a lot of factors and a lot of variables involved.
Yeah, and so, you know, we're developing this low power or ultra low power benchmark. You know, the key ingredient here is to come up with a method that allows you to compare one microcontroller to another, and in doing so, you know, it's important that you establish relevant workloads, and the first step is analyzing all of the different ultra low power applications, such as the portable medical equipment or smart power meters or battery-powered watches, and the list goes on and on. It's very extensive. And then from that, figuring out what are the workloads or what are at least the workload characteristics, as well as the duty cycle. How often do these workloads come up onto the device? Is it once a second, once a day?
Exactly, and that applies to whether it's a consumer device for a meter, you know, application, or a military device for a field sensor application. I mean, you have to understand how the device is functioning to get a handle on the power.
Yeah, and they're all using, well, potentially the same microcontrollers, but just being put to different tasks.
Exactly. Now, then obviously your benchmarks consist of fixed workloads that can be used to evaluate performance. So how would you describe it, say, for example, compared to an older benchmark like Drystone?
Yeah, so, let's avoid talking about Drystone here, and we'll talk about Cormark here for a second, because Cormark, for those of you not familiar with it, is a benchmark that's kind of on the same order of magnitude as Drystone, but it's basically becoming more of the de facto standard. And just as a side note, you can download the Cormark benchmark from www.cormark.org. So, you know, the thing about Cormark, which was originally designed for a low-end microcontroller benchmark, when you put this into the ultra-low power space, the Cormark benchmark itself is actually orders of magnitude too big. It consumes too much energy to run it, and it runs for too long of a period. So in the process of creating ultra-low power benchmarks, we either have to come up with a significantly reduced version of Cormark, or actually come up with different workloads that are maybe even more representative of the ultra-low power types of applications.
Right, and obviously that's what your organization is involved in.
And there is a lot of internal debate as to what type of workloads we should actually use.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the beauties of, of having an industry standard working group is that you get all of the companies, all of the vendors involved in trying to decide what is representative, and at the end of the day you're going to come up with a series of benchmarks or a suite of benchmark tests that, you know, for some microcontroller vendors it'll look great, for others it may not look great, but at the end of the day, you come up with something that is representative across the board.
Right, exactly. Now, how does someone get involved to participate actively?
Okay, so Embassy, or EEMBC, is an open industry standard association, and if anybody's interested in joining this working group so that you can, you know, participate and put your inputs into it, you can contact me directly. My email address is Marcus, M-A-R-K-U-S, .Levy, L-E-V-Y, at EEMBC.org, and we're glad to have you joining into this debate.
Excellent. Now, speaking of the debate, what kind of issues are you, I mean, you obviously get different issues from the vendors than you do from the customers. I gather you have both customers and vendors as members of the organization now?
Yeah, that's right. So we do have some member companies representing the system level, such as Lockheed Martin, for example. But the majority of the membership is represented by the semiconductor vendors. Actually, the working group itself is led by a fellow by the name of Horst DeWald, who is a chief architect at Texas Instruments. But the participating member companies include, for example, ARM and Atmel, Energy Micro, Freescale, Cypress, Fujitsu, Microchip, Renesas, Silicon Labs, ST Micro. So you probably recognize,
recognize all of them.
All of those names, and it's pretty much the who's who list of the microcontroller industry.
Right. Now, the other thing about the benchmarks, I imagine they apply to different levels of the system as well, I would imagine. There needs to be some way to factor in how the microcontroller operates with its set of peripherals and, you know, whether they're on chip or off chip, and a lot of factors involved, aren't there?
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point. So just to elaborate on that, we are developing this new benchmark in phases. And phase one will primarily consist of a few representative code workloads,
mm-hmm.
and maybe some involvement of peripherals such as the real-time clock. And that's about it, just to keep it simple and to get something out the door. And then subsequent phases of this benchmark will start including more of the peripherals, like the analog-to-digital controller, maybe DMA, PWM, you know, whatever type of common peripherals that are being used. And you know, that's important because that will show how well these peripherals can actually offload the CPU so that you're using less energy to actually accomplish a task.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start getting into benchmarking the different peripherals, it does become quite a bit more complex, and so that's why we're kind of putting that part of it off till our next revision of the benchmark.
Got you. So
this is a long-term process of development.
Well, and not only that, it's a moving target.
It totally is a moving target.
You know, and so I can very, very easily sympathize with the effort that you've undertaken.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, once you develop an industry standard, it takes a long time to get there, but then you have to make sure that it's right, because once people start using it and relying on it, it stays around for a long time. We have some embassy benchmarks that have been around now for 14 years, and sometimes as much as you'd like them to go away and people move on to the new stuff, you know, it's become such a standard that it's kind of there forever.
Well, exactly. Well, mature infrastructures and supply chains and systems and, you know, it's always been done that way, I think, have existed since they were banging rocks into points.
Yeah. That's right.
So, but I'm really, really glad that there are people out there like you and your organization trying to help put some rationale behind the chaos. Now, is there anything else that you wanted to leave us with before we closed out the episode?
So I think it's probably important to note, when is this benchmark going to be available? And we're currently targeting like an alpha release sometime in this first quarter of 2013. Probably available to the general public in the second quarter, maybe even the third quarter, because, you know, we have to make sure that it's right before we put it out there. But also, I wanted to point out that at the upcoming Embedded World Conference in Nuremberg, Germany, that we're doing a full-day ultra-low power workshop. This will be on February 27th. And it'll consist of a series of presentations, and then a half a day of that will be hands-on labs, basically teaching attendees how to optimize, how to analyze, and understand ultra-low power design. So that should be pretty interesting, and we'll also have a few more details on this ultra-low power benchmark that we'll provide at this workshop.
Excellent, excellent. Now, homepage is just EEMBC.org, correct?
Correct, yep.
Yeah, so people can go there and get information, follow up on this. If there's anything that they want to find out, they can find out from there as well, I imagine.
Yeah, there won't be too much information yet up there on the ultra-low power stuff. I think, you know, that probably won't happen for the next month or two.
Right. Well, don't forget, this podcast will probably be released probably mid-February, so may or may not be stuff up there, but obviously as time goes on, more and more information will be available there.
Exactly, yep.
Excellent.
And if somebody wants information before it's up on the website, you know, again, just contact me directly, and I'm happy to provide whatever we have.
Great. Thanks, Marcus. I appreciate that. So, anything else?
I guess we could go on for the next hour.
Oh, this is true. I meant for a quick brief for the community out there.
I think we hit on the high points.
We'll have to bring you back though.
Yeah, and maybe one of the things that we should have started on was just a quick intro for people who aren't familiar with Embassy anyway. Just to point out that this is a nonprofit consortium, and we've been around for actually almost 16 years now. And our benchmarks range from the low-end microcontroller space all the way up to high-end systems doing deep packet inspection, as well as benchmarks for smartphones and tablets and floating point and multi-core, and, you know, the list goes on and on. So we're pretty heavily involved in many, many aspects of the embedded industry.
Excellent. Well, and now they know a little bit more about that, but we'll definitely have to do some follow-up and talk about the organization as well as some of the other things you're trying to do.
Super. Thank
Excellent.
You.
Well, and thank you, Marcus. I really appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And I'd also like to thank everyone out there for taking the time to listen to us. This is Alex Pault, Pault on Power. Have a great day, everybody. Take care.